Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence.
We're going to read just a little bit of scripture this morning in Daniel 4. And for the benefit of those who, I encourage you, Brother Travis is going to be preaching on Daniel 5 next Sunday, I believe. And so I encourage you to go back and read the book of Daniel or reread it. It's a blessing. It has been a blessing to me. And I'm so thankful that Travis has asked me to preach last Sunday, and I kind of twisted his arm on this Sunday. But I'm so thankful that I was able to delve into this fourth chapter of Daniel. I had not really diagnosed this scripture before, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to do that, especially last Sunday and then again this Sunday. And we're going to begin our reading in verse 18 of Daniel 4, and it says, "This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, and thou, O Belteshazzar." Now that's, if y'all don't remember, that's the king's name for Daniel. He named him after one of his gods. And I know Daniel must have cringed every time, the king said, Belteshazzar. And he must have thought a lot of Daniel, though, because he named his son, took over after him, Belteshazzar, I believe. So kind of a play of words there. Calls him Belteshazzar. And Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods, and that's a little G, I notice. I don't know enough about the Hebrew to know if that's a slip or what, but I want to think that Nebuchadnezzar still not convinced, that God is God. And he referred to him along with his other god, Baal or Marduk was the god that he had. And I think he's still equating Daniel's Yahweh with his God, and hey, there ain't no comparison, is it? Not a bit. Okay. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was stricken dumb for a while, and his thoughts troubled him. The king answered and said to him, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or interpretation of the dream trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine adversaries. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was food for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the birds of the heavens had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. Whereas the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven, and saying, hew down the tree and destroy it. Nevertheless, have the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let its portion be with the beast of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation of the king. It is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that thou shalt be driven from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and thou shalt be made to eat grass as oxen, and shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and seven times or 7 years shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. I tell you, I read this verse and I thought of how we have clamored, many of us, Jabba included, how we lamented even the election process. And according to this scripture and others in this chapter, God puts in place who he wants. And sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. We just gotta serve the Lord.
That's right.
I believe that's what Nebuchadnezzar learned. In season, out of season, you and me, we've got to serve the Lord. And you know, we're involved in politics, I know, but we can't let the result of some political machinations or machine or whatever, we cannot allow that to derail our walk with Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, they had become kind of friends, although I think Daniel was not as big a fan of Nebuchadnezzar as Nebuchadnezzar seemed to be of Daniel. But they had become friends of sort, and even though Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed Daniel's, or Belteshazzar's, home, his country, and had almost, well, I won't say it almost, he had tried to destroy his faith. And but some way, verses 18 and 19 indicate that some way they got together, and Daniel at least seemed to have forgiven Nebuchadnezzar for what he's done. And so, you know, when you forgive somebody, you're all right with them then, and it's up to them. And so I believe Daniel forgave him, and they become friends, in quotes. And then Nebuchadnezzar asked Daniel to tell him about this dream. What does this dream mean? A tree in the midst of the earth, its height was great, all the earth could see it. Animals lived protected around its trunk. All kinds of birds lived in its branches. All flesh was fed from it. Then a watcher comes down, and some sort of heavenly being or angel of some sort, and he cries for someone to chop down the tree and lop off its branches. And the beasts and the birds flee. The stump remains strapped with a band of iron and bronze. And some say that's symbolizing that Nebuchadnezzar's reign will continue following the 7 years. He doesn't have to worry about that. And then his hair grows long like eagle's wings. Some people say that's up to 2 foot long. You know, he was just a beastly guy. And his fingernails grew like bird talons, and the dew was on him, and I can imagine he smelled the high heaven. And nobody wanted to be around him, not even the beast of the field wanted to be around him, because he looked different. You know how we are about people who live different than we do. We don't want to be around them, do we? Sometimes we'll seemingly accept them, but always keep that one eye cocked, you know. And, you know, on the up and up. The purpose in all this, to let the peoples and nations know that the Most High, that's God himself, God Almighty, the Most High God, rules in the kingdom of man. That really God is God of everything, and everything is subject unto him. Everything. Now, for a time, we may think that our world is going to hell in a handbasket. But I tell you, there's still people and places that are serving the Lord. And I wonder, I won't say I believe, I wonder if in this pandemic of sorts, a pandemic not only of illness, but a pandemic of rioting and lawlessness all across our land, if we don't see the hand of God at work, and if we will give ourselves unto him, I really believe he's going to work it out for us. But you and I believe we've been charged with a task, that of loving and serving him today more than ever. More than ever. Now, I wonder what the title of this message today. You know, I entitled last Sunday, "Dark." It's dark out there. I thought today about it, it's still dark out there. I thought we loved that one. About the Lord, you know, I heard someone say one time, I don't remember who, but he was talking about the Ten Commandments. You know, when we look at the Ten Commandments today, and some of us want to put them back in the Old Testament so many years ago and say they're not relevant for us today, but they are. I will tell you, though, we don't break the Ten Commandments. I learned a long time ago, we break ourselves on the Ten Commandments. If you let that roll around in your brain and chew on that a while, the Ten Commandments break up. Well, in all this that Nebuchadnezzar sees and has happened, he doesn't change, and for 12 months, after the dream and after the interpretation of the dream, for 12 months, I guess he's still as mean as ever. One day, or one night, he's walking around on the rooftop of where he lives. You know, and he says in a place that in verse 1 through 3 of chapter 4, he was at ease and lounging and everything else. Well, this time he's walking about, admiring what he has done. Pride, pride, pride. Man, he's eaten up with pride. He didn't do any of this. God did. But he's walking around looking at the things he's created. He is created. And God has created them and loaned them to him for a time. So he's looking around and he's so proud and boastful. And then all of a sudden, it falls on him like a hammer of a blacksmith. But he has these words in his mouth about the beauty of his creation. And all of a sudden, he don't even know where he is. He becomes like an ox or a cow. I know, I thought of another title the other day, "How That Brown Cat." I thought he was a good kid. He's not, you know, but "How That Brown Cat." Man, he doesn't know anything anymore. He doesn't look up. He finally, after 7 years, he's like this, and he finally looks up to heaven, and I believe, now I don't know for sure, but I believe if he had looked up after one day or 2 days, that he may have been regenerated right then. But he waits 7 years before he looks up. finally, in all of this, he's in a fix. Bless his heart. You know, and scholars have found 7 years during his reign, and most think this took place in the latter part of his reign, but scholars believe that there was a 7-year period when almost nothing went on in Babylon. And they think that that's the period of time when Nebuchadnezzar was an ox. And I guess he's out, they're just grazing somewhere, letting things go as they will. But the verse 34 says, he looks up after 7 years, his sanity returned. He said, I praise or bless the Supreme God Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. He does according to his will in heaven and on earth. None can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? Same time, my reason returned to me. And that's when he extols or praises the Lord enthusiastically. And from his words, we get the idea that he really does praises the Lord. Warren Wiersbe says that Nebuchadnezzar's dream accomplished some things. And one thing, it exposed the incompleteness of his magician. They couldn't tell his dream. They couldn't interpret his dreams. They were incompetent when it came to interpreting this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Also, it exposed, it gave Daniel another opportunity to praise and glorify God. And I believe it brought Nebuchadnezzar to a saving knowledge of God, where he was able to glorify the Lord with his word and with his deed. Nebuchadnezzar was king. He had a title. But, I remember Tony Campbell in a sermon that he preached one time, and he said, you know, a lot of people have a title, but do you have a testimony? Well, after 7 years of living like an ox and becoming king again, Nebuchadnezzar has a testimony. Not only is he king, the title king, but he has a testimony, let me tell you.
That's right.
And he uses that testimony in his everyday living. His reason returned, his majesty and glory returned. More of everything, the Bible says, more of everything returned to him than he had. And he's a changed man. He's a changed man. I believe with all my heart that he became a Christian or a follower of God. You know, when somebody meets God, if you really meet God, you know, I've said to you before, you know, some people say, I've heard one person say this at least, if you go to church and you are able to worship, truly worship, one time a year, you have done something. Now, don't that shame us? I mean, we're here, some of us, 52 times a year, and we don't worship but one time. Have we worshiped today? Will we acknowledge God before we leave this place and allow him to do a work in our hearts and lives? I see no tears. I see very little laughter. I see no hand raising. I hope we'll see a life change and people walking in humble obedience before our Heavenly Father. Old Nebuchadnezzar, bless his heart, he lacked humility. He He couldn't find humility anywhere until he became a wild beast. That's the way it is with most of us. But when he was abased, when he was put low, when he was at his lowest point, I think he looked up and saw God. It made a difference in his life. You know, our nephew down in Coffee, Georgia, he's something of a farmer at heart. He hadn't got the money to be a real farmer, I don't think, but he works with farmers, and he was telling me the other day when we were down there, he said, talk about cotton. If you go to Coffee, there's cotton everywhere. I don't know how in the world we wear that many breeches and shirts. all that cotton. But cotton everywhere. And my nephew was saying the reason they were talking about the cotton. And he said, you know something? The best cotton is lowest on the stalk. I thought, hey, the best service from us comes when we're low and downtrodden and seeing we have nowhere else to go. Isn't that right?
That's good.
And the Lord help us. William Ernest Henley has written what I think may be the epitaph of today. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Is that someone that's shaking their fist in the face of God? I think so. The last time I thought, God is still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Nobody has removed him. I'm reminded of Matthew 5, where it says the meek will inherit the earth. How meek are we? Spurgeon said, be not proud of your race or your face or your place or of grace, but humbly serve the Lord God. Only if we can all find it in ourselves to somehow come to our senses and know that God is God. He's on the throne, and he's been on the throne, and he'll always be on the throne. And if we can serve him and obey him, throw away pride like King Nebuchadnezzar was able to do. But we don't take 7 years of us being ox. Well, it makes us become unprideful or humble. Let us today humbly serve our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's Daniel's call, I believe, for us. One of his calls for us, anyway. And that we win in humility. Follow him. People don't throw rocks. That's inevitable. They're going to jeer, they're going to laugh. Can we say like Joshua? But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Let me pray. Father, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this time to share in our feeble way. Truth of your word. We thank you for your word. pray that before we leave this place today, we will realize once again that we need Jesus. We need you every hour of every day. Help us follow you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.